Today is February 26th, 2006. We're going to speak about the what true charity is, and we're going to relate it to this coming Lent and our mortification that we have to do, which is to get us to concentrate more on spiritual things and less on carnal things. Now, you know that chapter, what he's saying there, this is very powerful. It puts down all these people that do these certain works that, that charity demands, but they think that this is charity alone. For instance, again, as I always say, the Mother Teresa type false charity. He says in 1 Corinthians 13:3, he says, if I should distribute all my goods to feed the poor, and if I should deliver my body up to be burned, if I have not charity, it profited me nothing. So that tells us giving food to the poor is not enough. That doesn't mean necessarily that that's true charity. Okay? He says true charity really, ultimately, is you do everything for the love of God, and you have to obey all of God's commandments. St. John says it perfectly in 2 John 1:6. He says, this is charity, that we walk according to all of his commandments. All of his commandments, not just one, not just two, not just three, but all 10 of his commandments as taught by the church. And all that means, first and foremost, the first three commandments. So without the first three commandments, the moral commandments really can't even be kept. And they are secondary to the first three commandments. Without keeping the first three, you're not even going to be able to keep the next seven. But the priority, as our Lord always says, is on the first three. And he says that in Matthew 22:37-40. He says, you shall love the Lord your God, Jesus says, with your whole heart, your whole soul, and your whole mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is, you shall love your neighbors yourself. So God's telling us the first commandment is to love God before even man. And to love God above all things. Okay? And then we're getting into this idea, too, of understanding the spiritual. Our soul is more important than our body. Our relationship with God comes first. And that comes from Deuteronomy 6:5. So anybody who's going to go out there and just be concerned about giving food to the flesh and feed people, but they don't really have any concern for their soul, their relationship to the true God, it's false. It's carnal. It's lust. It has nothing to do with spirituality whatsoever. That's what the apostate prophetess Mother Teresa did. She was one of the most evil bastards next to J.P. II, who influenced the whole world with her false acts of charity. She didn't care one bit about the soul. And we see how our Lord always puts the emphasis on the soul. He says in Matthew 4:4, man doesn't live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. And when he was speaking to the Samaritan woman by the well, she was wanted to pull him up some, and he was going to burn her up some water, regular physical water. And our Lord says, the water I'm going to give you, he says, you'll never thirst again. And she's kind of confused. She's going, yeah, well, you're pulling this water up, and if I drink this water, I am going to thirst again. He says, no, but the water I give you, you will never thirst again. And that water was eternal life through faith in him, to sanctify her soul and give her eternal life. And once you have eternal life, you also will have the bonus of never physically thirsting either. But the first thing he was saying is, I'm going to make this water you're going to drink in the well, he says, you're just going to get thirsty again. And this food that you're going to eat, you're just going to get hungry again. And you're going to die anyway. So there's got to be more to life than just the carnal things that we're looking at. You have to first look towards God and concentrate mostly upon your soul and what you need to do that your soul should gain eternal life and that God should support you and give you eternal life. So the works of charity, the first and highest works of charity are the spiritual works of mercy, not the corporal works of mercy. You need to do the corporal works of mercy, yes. But it's subservient to the spiritual works of mercy. And then, so that comes first. I mean, if you had a choice between feeding somebody bread or preaching Christ to them, and you couldn't do both, I'd rather preach Christ to them and let them die. I always use this example of how evil Mother Teresa is, not this harlot that she was. Picture a Hindu dying on the ground and he's starving. And she comes up to him, and all she's doing is saying, I'm going to give you this piece of bread or this food so that you can live a little bit longer. But I'm not going to tell you what you really need, which is faith in Jesus Christ and baptism to his Catholic Church in order to gain eternal life. So at most, what is she really offering this guy? That he can live a little bit longer on physical bread. And she's not telling him that the real problem in his life is that he's not inside the church and he's not right with God. That's the main problem. That's the real problem. That guy, even if she fed him and got him all fatted up and he started to, what's that going to do him? He could die fat, die skinny, die starving, die any way he wants. If he's not right with God and his soul's not in the state of grace, he's not Catholic, he's going to hell. So that is not true charity. That's what St. Paul's saying. True charity is everything, looking at the whole person and what is best for that person. And the first best thing for any person is the salvation of their immortal souls. So carnal things in this world have to be put in second place, even with us. Now, even when we're feasting, God wants us to enjoy carnal things that he has, foods and feastings and wines. He that's fine. He wants you to do that. But even then, even when you're doing that, St. Paul says the first concern has to be always doing them and giving God glory. Spiritual things even have to come up above those things. Even when we're feasting, we have to still be more consumed with spiritual things. We have to always be talking about God, thinking about our souls. These things still have to be even above the food and the feasting. Even when you're feasting, spiritual things have to be above God. Now, during Lent, the reason that we especially, this is when we especially emphasize spiritual things and voluntarily give up carnal things so we can get that extra closeness to God. That enables us to be able to handle feasting. He who does not voluntarily give up things and gives himself whatever is legal, but he doesn't even hold back on it, which, you know, things are not sinful themselves, but he doesn't mortify himself, pretty soon he's going to do what is evil, what he's not allowed to do. Because he's doing everything he's allowed to do, and he's not mortifying himself and holding back his passions, even in good things. He's doing whatever he wants carnally, even though it's not sinful. He will eventually start doing things that are sinful. So the idea, what Lent does, it curbs our appetites. It helps us to handle feasting better when the feasting season does come, and it gets us even closer to God spiritually because we're ignoring carnal things and we're concentrating more on spiritual things. And that's not to say that we shouldn't, even in feasting, be more spiritual. We should, and we are. If you're proper with God, even in feasting, you're going to think more about the commandments of faith. You're going to be on fire talking about the faith in God and all these things. But Lent is the thing that enables us to be able to feast. And you need to have your feasting, you need to have your Lent. Spiritual things got to come first, always. So during Lent, we have to be more concerned, especially about mortification, which I'm going to be talking about here. We're going to read about the idea of mortification. But the main point that we are getting across are, what is true charity? True charity is first the love of God, the first three commandments, and the love of a person's soul. And also, the motive as to why you're doing something. Why are you feeding? Why was this Mother Teresa feeding people? For what cause? So she could be a hero in the United Nations in the eyes of the world. She felt really she was doing something good, but it was actually horrible. It was prideful. She was full of arrogant, stinky, nasty pride, if you could look at her soul. She's walking around like a little peacock, one of those false humility. You know how she looks real humble? All pride. Look at me, I'm feeding the poor. I'm giving them physical sustenance. But what is that going to do to the person? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. This is the same problem we have with this letter we received recently. We said, well, I've got to do the corporal works of mercy by going over their feet and talking to my parents. But what about the spiritual works of mercy, which are the very first commandment? You know, forget, I'd rather have you starved to death than have the faith, because then you're going to go to heaven at least. So this whole idea of we have to always keep our lives focused on the main things that count, which is our relationship, spiritual relationship to God, and that the things in this world are going to pass away. So, as St. Paul says, use the things of the world as if they were not. Don't put any emphasis on them. Don't think that you need them. Don't become dependent on them. Be prepared always for them to be taken away from you under times of persecution, and still hold strong to the faith. The big complaint that people were going with Moses in the desert was they weren't eating the good food they wanted to used to eating. And they started to deny the faith because of it, because they put food before the faith. That's why Moses even said, your God cannot be your belly. Food cannot be your God. Yes, you need to have food, you need to, but it can't be your God. God has to be put above all other corporal works of mercy. God first in your relationship with Him. And that's why during this Lent period too, it's our time to get ourselves back into extra mortifications so that when the feasting periods come, we can maintain it, not get carried away with gluttony, become fat or become drunkards. If you don't control your passions sooner or later and you don't voluntarily mortify yourself, you're going to sooner or later fall into mortal sins even. But I was reading another thing on true charity in Philippians 1:9. I was just reading it today. And St. Paul said, this is my prayer, he says, that you may abound more and more in charity and knowledge unto all understanding. So charity, he's relating to knowledge. Now, even in this other thing, he's saying knowledge is not strictly charity alone. But the knowledge he's talking about is the true understanding of what God's commandments are, who God is, and what His will is for man. True wisdom is what we really call that. True wisdom enables you to put things into perspective, to do things for the right reasons too. Everything that we do has to be for the love of God, not just so we can look good in the public. The Pharisees were doing that. They were obeying a letter of the law, but they didn't really love God at all. It made them look good in the public. They were getting their donations. They looked holy, and they were supporting their lifestyle, but they weren't doing it for the love of God. So here he's saying charity is also knowledge and wisdom. So charity is the full package. It's not just one thing. It's not just two things. It's not just three things. It's first of all doing all of God's commandments. And that's not even enough. It's doing all of God's commandments for the love of God, because you love Him. if you're just feeding your neighbor and you don't care about the Catholic faith, and Mother Teresa is saying to these Buddhists or Hindus, be a good Hindu, be a good Buddhist, she's a bastard. She's actually killing her souls. She's leaving her souls in damnation and confirming them that she is an evil, wicked person. What is she doing? Doesn't she see people die around her all the time? Life is more than bread and water. It has to do with knowing God and what is going to happen when I die and gaining eternal salvation. So she's actually, her charity was actually so deceptive, it was a cause of her damnation. Her charity was letting them rest comfortably in their sins because she was even telling them, you can keep yourself as a Buddhist, you can stay as a Hindu as long as you're a good Hindu. What kind of charity is that? And this is what we hear from your parents, says, oh, what about the Mother Teresa thing? What about it? What about it? And you notice these people are all carnal. Everything to them is eating, drinking, luxuries, going out and getting all these good things, like fatted pigs, as I always say, that's what they are, just waiting to die. And they look at these starving people and say, boy, I wish it's not me. Can't we go over and give them some food? Why do they want to give them food? Because they're carnal, for gluttonous reasons, not for spiritual reasons. Yeah, give them, the true reason you want to give food, yes, at least let them live long enough to get close to God. And because you do care about people who are starving, yes, but it's the secondary thing. The first thing you've got to look at is that person's soul. The Mother Teresa just said, look, I can give you this temporary food, but you're going to just be hungry again, like our Lord said to the Samaritan woman. And eventually you're going to die. Let me give you the true food of eternal life. Let me tell you what you need, so that even if you died now, you will go to heaven for all eternity. You've got to believe in Jesus. You've got to get baptized in this Catholic Church to have a hope to be saved. That's what I want to give you, first and foremost. While you're giving them the food. And this is not what she's doing. Now, as it relates to us, though, to keep ourselves centered on true charity, you have to, that's what mortification is all about. And it takes you away from the carnal things of the world, and it makes you concentrate on the spiritual things, because those are the true things that count in the end. And so you always have to keep your flesh in subjection to your soul, and to your will, and to God's commands. The flesh has to always be kept under subjection to the reason. It cannot dominate. Because if you let the flesh take over, you're going to start becoming less and less spiritual. You're going to become more and more carnal. Now, even in feasting, when people might look at you and say, well, you're eating pretty good. Yeah, fine. Yeah, but it's a feast period. You can still be more spiritual than carnal. You can still say, while I'm feasting, I'm giving glory for the feasting. But the time of fasting, the church has it in particular, because it keeps you regulated. So that when you do feast, that's what the church used to teach. If you didn't make a good Lent, they would not let you feast during Easter. You couldn't feast. Sorry, you didn't make a good Lent. You're not worthy of it. You don't deserve it. That's what happens. It's like a guy like a roller coaster. He's going on. He's eating. He's not moderating himself. And his stomach starts getting wider and wider and wider. He starts getting drunk. Because he can't regulate his drink anymore, because he's not making any effort to regulate his passions, and then he becomes more and more and more carnal. That's what gets us to understand more and more that spiritual things are more important than carnal things. Everybody in this world is going to be hitting us with false charity, and we all know it. You don't do this, you don't do that, you're not feeding the poor. First of all, who's starving in this country anyway? Nobody's starving in this country. Everybody, the devil was very smart in what he did here. He loaded down everybody with the corporal works of mercy. Fed them, the Masons do that, all these lodges, medical cares, food, and fattened them all up, but took away the spiritual. Because he knew he's like an ape of God. The church did this, and it did get the attention of the people to convert them. And that's proper, because that's the proper use of corporal works of mercy. The whole purpose of the corporal work of mercy is to get the person's attention, to let them know you love them, you care for them, but to let them know ultimately that you care for their soul. So there was this idea that when the true church around Catholics, they would not only be giving the people what they needed corporally, but they would also spiritually. Now the devil is just giving people what they need corporal. So it's looking like what the church used to did, but he took out the spiritual and he replaced it with the petrol natural. He is putting the spiritual in there though, but it's a diabolical spiritual. It's antichrist. It's against God. He's filling them with the immoral commandments. But this illusion of corporal works of mercy is nothing to us. What does that mean to us? This world is, they're running around with like being self-justified because of these acts of corporal mercy when they're actually great evils, tremendous evils. That's why I say it's always better when you have these countries that are being afflicted horribly, because they have a chance of repenting, because whom the God loves, he chastises. And he's not chastising this nation because they're under, as I always said, the worst curse of all mankind, which is false prosperity. They have all these things, and makes them think that God's blessing them, when it's the absolute opposite. To me, this is the worst operation of error that God can send upon any nation, is to give them a prosperity when they're living in obstinate mortal sins and rebellion against God. That's almost like when God totally cuts you loose and he lets you go off onto this false confidence. King David, it's happened in the past, though, in the scriptures, if you read it, you'll see it. There's been certain nations that were blessed with all these goods, but they weren't really blessed. They were really cursed in the end. And King David says that in one of his Psalms. 72, I think. And he says, I looked at the prosperous. They were strong. They were healthy. They were sleek. They had their storehouses were full, and I was weak, and I was separated, and I almost fell because of it, thinking, wow, this is what I get for serving God, and these guys are sinners, and they're getting this. He says, until I went into the sanctuary and contemplated their final end. God says, it's an illusion. I'm going to strike them. They're going to fall. And David, you don't see what's going to happen then when they die. I'm going to send them to hell. So they're going to get what their due is. And so David's beginning to see this whole idea of don't even put your hope in false prosperity. When it, as St. Paul says, when it's there, thank God for it, but be prepared for poverty next month. And if poverty's here, thank God for it. And be prepared that he might raise you up the next month. To a holy person who's trying to be a saint, both are equally scary. I mean, in a sense, poverty's less scary, but even riches is scary. Because you're going, what am I going to do with all this? It could be the cause of my damnation. So David was learning a lesson there that just because somebody looks to be prosperous doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean that person's right with God. It could be the worst. It could be, and it could not be. You have to look at the way the person's living. And if you see that these people are prospering, and at the same time they're extremely immoral and diabolical, this is the worst curse that God can ever put upon anybody. And so all we see today is people performing these false works of charity, and all they care about is the corporal works of mercy. They don't ever, and they say, well, I care about the spiritual works of mercy. How? If you deny the salvation dogma, there's no way you can perform the spiritual act of mercy. If you're telling people that they're not, who are not Catholic, they can get to heaven, you are the most evil person in God's eyes that ever lived on the face of the earth. If you're a self-professed, so-called Catholic who's really an apostate that's given these non-Catholics false confidence in their false religions, how is that charity? And that is the ultimate charity when you're supposed to be trying to help people's souls. So anything that these people do is all an illusion. It's all a waste of time. It's to make themselves look good. And they're going to end up into the deepest pits of hell when they die. And God's going to say, you should have known that life is more than physical form. You're now standing here before me on Judgment Day, naked with your soul and no body, no flesh, no food. And it's a soul that you didn't care about. They have a soul that's going to last forever. They act if it doesn't matter. Or you get the opposite thing, where they all think they're going to heaven because they've been deluded because of the denial of the dogma. Everybody tells them, as long as you go to Matt, you're going to heaven. And so everything to them there is, they're not proven to be obedient to all of God's commandments. They're breaking God's commandments all over the place, even the moral ones. Because once you don't have the faith, you can't even keep the moral commandments, as we see in the Romans 1 curse. All right, so later on, for the catechism, we will then do the readings from Alphonse there in that book on mortification. And this just gets back to the idea of what is true charity? Charity is the spiritual acts of mercy first, then the corporal works of mercy. There's the first commandment is to love the Lord your God with your whole heart, soul, and mind, and then love your neighbor as you love God. That's the second commandment. And that first commandment relates upon the first three commandments, which is the faith and spiritual things in your relationship to God. That is first. If anybody tries to come to us and interlope that and put the corporal works of mercy on top, we kick them out of here faster than they can even blink. We don't need Mother Teresa's in here. We kick them right out of here. Yeah, we'll give people food when they need it, but we're going to be preaching to them at the same time. You know, and a lot of these obstinate people probably don't even want our food then. They'd rather starve to death than hear our preaching. But tough, that's their problem. You know, that's, we're going to put the priority where it belongs. There's nobody anymore telling people out there in the world that you got to become Catholic to save your souls. Nobody. Because every so-called Catholic, who we know they're all apostates, don't preach the dogma. And even a few that are pretending to preach the dogma are now falling away. They're getting into all types of weaknesses, and they're holding on to all types of heresies, and they're in communion with other people who deny the dogma. Where's the sanity in all of that? How's God going to be with these people? All right, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us